like Real Housewives of Atlanta. Not that I'm watching the Real Housewives shows, of course.
I would never.
Hello, Addison.
Billy Dukes. Hello. I'm going to rub it in your face for a hot second. Do you see my background? I am not in Nashville at the second, freezing my rear end off. Mm-hmm. I'm enjoying 65 degree weather. And I can only gloat that because I will be returning back to frigid weather tomorrow.
it's 65 here as well with sunshine. And
kidding.
It's not. It's freezing cold.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure we're supposed to get snow tomorrow or Thursday.
Yeah, maybe. How are you? How was your Thanksgiving?
It was not the traditional Thanksgiving. Had all the siblings from Texas and sister-in-law come to my mom's out in California. So we all came out to California for a hot second and enjoyed. We went sailing.
Wow.
But it was one of those of like, you know, all the chaos of having everyone together definitely was my singleness came up a ton. And a bunch of other things that I was like, all right, I think we're done.
Quite a bougie Thanksgiving you had. You should get yourself a membership to the Cattlemen's Club, which we'll talk about soon. I've done extensive research on.
You know, I'm balling on the budget. I'm faking it till I make it, Billy. I don't think I can actually dish out any dollar bills anytime soon. I'm riding on other people's coattails to be out here.
Fair.
Well, let's get started. I am so excited to talk about episode 3 for so many different reasons. I think it was my favorite episode so far, which I know we kind of differ on this. But before we get into all that, let's tease what we've got coming with trivia. And even we could go through last week's trivia right now.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. A quick poll. If you're watching on YouTube, I threw a poll up. Which side character from Landman do you think deserves more screen time? Feel free to answer. We'll get to those results here before the end of this episode. If you're watching on Facebook, just drop us a comment below. And of course, if you're just listening later on, let us know. staff@tasteofcountry.com. So trivia, we've split it up now. We're going to give last week's trivia answer right now. And we'll do this week's trivia question at the end of this episode. As always, for one of the great pieces of Dutton Rules merchandise, the t-shirts at Taste of Country Store. You can find links to some of those in the description section below, especially if you're on YouTube or watching through the audio player. Do you remember last week's question, Addison?
Nope. Oh, wait. No. you do you, Billy. Was it about Galeno? No. Or was that?
Yes. Yes. It was about Galeno. Last week's question, Nate reveals who Cooper's business partner is. The photo is of Galeno, played by actor Andy Garcia. What is his pseudonym?
Can I tell everyone?
Yes.
Danny.
Dan Morrell. Dan, when his wife's mad at him, as he says.
You got the full, that one I actually knew. So does that mean 2 for 2? No, wait.
Yeah, you got a little bit of a hot streak, and I'm going to give you a tease. This week's trivia question is actually pretty easy, so I would be shocked if you didn't know this week's trivia.
Unfortunately, that means nothing in my world, so I probably won't know it, and I'll be humbled, but we're going to get to that a little bit later on in this episode, but a little bit later. Actually, we're going to do that at the end, but first, Billy, we kind of have, I don't know if it's breaking news. I don't know if you want to use your breaking news card at all, but
all right. This is a Dutton Rules version of breaking news where it's a little bit late, but the trailer for Why Marshall has come out. We know it's going to debut on CBS on March 1st. And in the trailer, we get some details, including some signs that Casey's wife, Monica, has died. Have you read this conspiracy theory online yet, Addison?
No. What? Can you share? Wait, what's the conspiracy?
Yeah, so people think that because she hasn't been announced as a cast member and she hasn't been in any of the imagery for the show, that her character might have died or something happened to her. And in the trailer, there's a shot of Casey standing over a gravesite, talking about how he's lost everything. It's a little bit, to me, that's not enough evidence for me to believe that Monica has died. But I do think it's very, very strange that Kelsey Asbell is not going to be a part of this show. Like, she has to be, right?
Well, I guess unless Taylor Sheridan knows that this is going to be such a wild theory, you're going to tell me this is dumb. But let's be real. She was kind of the hot topic of Yellowstone. Like, some people loved her. Some people hated her. So maybe they're just not wanting to tease the fact that she'll be in it. So people who would be turned off by that wouldn't watch. But that does kind of feel like a far reach on my behalf.
I feel like she came around by the end in most people's minds. And Casey and Monica were so attached to each other. I mean, that's Tate's mom.
She can be Tate's mom all day long and people still not love her.
I liked her. I thought Kelsey Asbell was a really cool chick too. So I feel bad for her if she didn't get brought back to it. It reminds me a little bit like the show Blue Bloods. They recast one of the Danny's sons for the spinoff on CBS, that Boston Blue or whatever it's called. Huh. Like, they kicked the son out and recast him with a different actor. That I was okay with because that kid kind of sucked. I like Monica and Kelsey.
They can't recast her. That's messed up if they do. I hate when shows do that because then I'm like, well, this ruins everything. So it ultimately came down to she had another project going on when Y Marshall came around, and that's why she can't be on the show.
Sims says if Monica is not on the show, they would have to kill her off. I agree. We need a death scene. If she's not on the show, we need a death scene better than John Dutton's death scene.
You know, in that case, we probably won't get it.
Yeah, maybe not.
In how it all works. Mm-hmm. Let's break down episode 3.
I had asked at the start of this on the chat where we should start, and James was first to chime in. He thought we should start with Dan and Galeno's threats to Tommy. Okay. This was the tense meeting between Tommy Norris and Dan Morrell. It starts off pretty friendly. Then Tommy calls him a drug dealer. Danny pretty quickly turns tides and says, you know, I saved your life. I can kill you whenever I want to, and kind of shows his shows what he's all about. Do you trust Dan Morrell?
Hell no.
No.
No. It's hard to. You don't trust anyone who deals with some dirty money. Are you kidding me?
It seems like he's a little bit of a bigger player in this field than we knew, though, right? Because he's also at the Cattlemen's Club a little bit later watching a meeting go down between Tommy and Cammy. And a man named Alan Thompson, who turns out to be the banker, the money man, the financer for MTech. And he sees that meeting. And then later, they all kind of take a little palaver and they have some drinks. The wives really like each other. It's like a charming, if boring, 10 to 12 minutes of television where they're all just sort of talking about family and how important it is to really, truly love the person you marry.
I like Galeno's wife. I will say that scene did kind of make me be like, well, maybe Galeno's not all that bad, except still like have, he's raising a yellow flag.
I'm curious to find out if she also has another agenda, like if she has a dark side to her as well. Right now we don't see it, but it seems like every villain has a dark side of some sort.
Well, maybe she's not a villain, though. Maybe he's just the villain, and she's, I don't know. She seems, I don't know. I mean, I do feel like there's a reason why they brought her into the plot. Whether for to sure. Walk him out more, or to show that she's not all she's cracked up to be.
Did you immediately understand the money problems that MTex is having?
No, I literally wrote in my notes, I wrote MTech. Wait, what did I actually write? I wrote MTech has no money, ... Have Billy explain.
Okay. So this is one of the clips from the trailer we got before this season started was of Cammy explaining that she understood why her husband Monty was so stressed. And the short version is she explains to Tommy that the company has no money. He asks why they have no money, and Rebecca Falcone steps up and says,
MTEX is broken into various LLCs. MTEX Exploration, MTEX Oil Services, MTEX Land Trust, which holds all of real estate with Gracie and Daisy Miller as beneficiaries and Cammie now executor. But all revenue is paid into an M. Miller Holdco, theoretically, with money flowing down to the various LLCs to cover payroll, leases, exploration expenses.
Theoretically.
Theoretically. And that is the problem. Let me simplify this a little bit more. You get a paycheck from the Great Town Square Media Company, do you not? If you were to use your paycheck to cover your bills, all would be good. But if instead you took your paycheck and spent it on frivolities or your future and decided to rack up a whole bunch of credit card debt, that would be a financial problem for you if those were maxed out. Monty appears to have taken an insurance settlement and done the same. And that sounds a lot like insurance fraud.
Oh, okay. Huh. Okay. No wonder Cammie might be a little stressed.
So they go to Alan Thompson, who is the banker, because they're trying to find this company to make sure. Because they can't, all the accounts they found have no money on it, but they think there must be another account because they haven't found the account that's paying off all these loans that Monty has accrued. So they go to Alan, break a bottle over his head, push him up against a wall, and he says, okay, let's talk about it on Monday morning. And then we get a little bit of a teaser. Keep in mind, though, on a Landman timeline, Monday morning, that's like episode 8, because we're going day by day here, right? Like, this is literally, I think, episode 3, day 3 of all of this.
Yeah, because we talked about that last episode of, are we really going to get deep into Ainsley's plot at TCU if this is truly just going day by day? Yeah, so not too much time is passing with these episodes.
I noticed a little bit of a glitch, and I want to see if you picked up on it as well here. This was from episode 2. This is Tommy talking to his dad, TL.
Funeral's Friday.
Easy, right? Short, simple. Funeral's Friday. No big deal.
Right.
And then...
Okay, it's a Friday in Fort Worth. Over to a guy like Alan Thomas happy hour.
Cattleman's Club.
Could they be in the same location and he's just gonna event hop? Funeral, happy hour.
No, because he didn't get out of that bar until late at night. That is just a continuity error on the part of the Landman folks where they kind of messed that up, I think. Agree? I mean, there's not really any other.
Leave it to me to find it.
Yeah, leave it to me to find it. I was interested in that because I was kind of going deep on like that scene in the bar at the Cattleman's Club. And someone else pointed us here in the chat. It was, in fact, James who pointed out that Galeno, Dan Morrell, appears to own the Cattleman Club. Did you know that's a real place?
I was about to ask you, is this legit? And where is it?
So the Cattleman Club, I Googled it. It opened actually just this fall, so it's a really new club. I kind of wonder if maybe there was a little money exchanged hands to kind of give themselves a little bit of a boost and some promotion here for this episode. Maybe Taylor got a free membership, but it's kind of as advertised. It's a private club. You can be a corporate member or a private member if you have enough money. And I think you'll be surprised by how much it costs to be a corporate member at the Cattleman Club.
Cheap? I'm thinking like, Billy, I'm going like Dallas Country Club. I'm thinking of all the memberships around the Dallas DFW area, and they're not cheap. So are you telling me this is like a good deal? Like I should invest, you know, all the money?
No.
Okay.
To be a corporate member, it's just $9,000. And that gets you four people in.
Oh, I was thinking $50,000. $9,000? That's nothing.
So you got to figure to be an individual member, $2,000, $3,000 a year? Like, that's reasonable. I feel like someone in Fort Worth could swing that without too much difficulty, right?
1,000,000,000%. What do you get? Like, what are you doing there?
I think you probably have a little bit more access to this world of private clubs than I do, given that you were sailing this past weekend, kind of that bougie holiday. So you tell me, what do you get when you get into a cattleman
club?
Can I
clarify that? So my brother got his sailing license. So he took us out on a sailboat, and it was like a little dinghy that we ran out of. Our motor got stuck halfway through the bay. So can I just like preface on this excursion that I was on? I was also manning the mast, so, or tilling. Anyways, whatever. Tomato, tomato. I would like to clarify, I do not find myself in these private clubs.
Okay. You're not that bougie yet. Well, this is a bougie holiday. I'd quick poll the audience, how many people have a sailing license or even knew you needed a sailing license? But
I don't have a sailing license. Let me, say it again. You get free apps, apparently, James said.
Maybe that's what you get at the Cattleman Club for the membership is appetizers. A little cheese plate.
I am going to look into it after this. Not for personal gain. I'm just curious.
Yesterday on Monday, we released about a 12-minute long video about Angela Norris and Ainsley. And it was an episode 3 recap video of sorts. We talked about all the things that happened. But I sounded off a bit on Angela and Ainsley because I thought it was time. For one, for some reason, Paramount decided to ask everybody to wait till after episode 3 to kind of share the reviews or do any sort of official review, which is fine, whatever. They're providing the episodes, I could wait. I didn't really understand why they wanted us to wait until episode 3 because it didn't really seem like a pivotal episode. Mm-hmm. But we did. And at this point, I gotta say, girl, Angela and Ainsley, they need some purpose. I am dying over here. They're funny, but like the lewd behavior is just like, it's too far at this point for me.
Yeah, I agree. It's kind of like, okay, we played the dumb blonde bit and the tornado bit for a while. Like, okay, we need some structure. It is a lot. Like,
they're like Real Housewives of Atlanta type. But even those women seem to have some sort of, not that I'm watching the Real Housewives shows, of course.
I would never watch such a thing. Closet Real Housewives of Atlanta watcher. No.
This is Real Housewives of Midland, Odessa.
Hey, actually, I would watch that. But yeah, it's too much. We've got to pull up.
And the breaking point for me, I mean, there was a few of them actually throughout episode 3, but the breaking point was the end after Angela's kind of drunk and Tommy says he likes Dan Morell's wife. And all of a sudden she's super mad and emotional and she's, you know, and then it pivots to like this, I don't want to call it a romantic moment, maybe a moment of seduction. I think there was a marriage proposal tossed in there. It's like, okay, what do we do? And Tommy's just along for the ride. Like, I feel like season one Tommy wasn't going to go along for all this. Season one Dale and Nathan weren't going to sit there like puppy dogs waiting for their meal to be served to them.
Like, yeah.
Everybody is kind of lowering themselves to her level of drama, which I don't love that for season two of Landman.
Yeah, I agree. I hate to say this. I don't think we're going to get any more depth with them. Like, I do think we should just buckle up because this is what we're going to be getting with them. I don't see a plot change at this point with them or character deepening.
I had asked people to kind of weigh in on their thoughts about just the show in general. And it's kind of interesting. It really is kind of split 50-50 in terms of how people feel about season 3. I did a little bit of reading and overall like critic scores and fan scores are down from season 1, which isn't terribly surprising, right? Because season 1, it's a new thing. It's exciting. People have their own expectations heading into a season 2 and it's tough to fulfill those. So I don't have any issue with that. But the comments, I think, were oddly specific when it comes to Angela and Norris. We'll just kind of read through of them here. Unfortunately, stand by.
I gotta pull out those readers, Billy. Yeah,
I didn't realize this was going to be an issue. I've been had. All right. So someone says episode 3 was hilarious. Get the heck out of here if you didn't like it. That's fair. It was funny. There were some funny moments. Taylor Sheridan has truly created something special with this show. Perfect casting. I do think Allie Larder and Michelle Randolph are great actors. I have no dispute there. Their level of commitment to the characters is really tremendous. Let's get one here. I genuinely hate Angela. Her whole storyline is just a bunch of S-word. I can deal with Ainsley, but they didn't have to include the mom in this show at all, or even both, to be fair. I actually like Angela a little bit more than Ainsley, but to each their own.
Oh, I like Ainsley more than Angela.
You do? How come?
Well, Angela just, like, if you're wanting to restore a marriage constantly, like she is just trying to create havoc. And if you're trying to restore a marriage, I mean, I've never been married before, but like it feels like she's going, like if you went to counseling, this counselor would say, hey, everything you're doing, like maybe don't.
That'd be the first meeting, I think. You know? It's just, so I'm just don't kinda follow your instincts.
Whatever you're thinking about doing, don't.
Just finished watching season 2, episode 3. The Landman series has great potential, but the writers have decided to dumb it down. I don't think that's unfair. And then it gets worse from there. So I don't know. I'm looking for a little bit of some redemption here as these episodes kind of turn to the next few episodes.
Well, see, something that you haven't touched on. Landman being a drama, those two are, if you took them out, where would they be? I don't know. Oh, I lost that. Where'd it go? It won't stop me from washing if you took them out.
Chad says the best line in the show was, it's a lollipop, not a snow cone. Okay, Chad. I'm trying to keep it PG here, brother. YouTube's going to knock us offline again if we start getting into that scene. All right.
Oh, my gosh. A scene that I don't know if anyone else, and in fact, staff at tasteofcountry.com or comment on our YouTube of this. Did anyone else notice Billy? Audrey McGraw was back.
Yeah, she was. It wasn't a gang, like an amazing scene, but it was a nice little cameo again.
I would love to know. No offense to Audrey McGraw, like really that scene didn't serve any purpose. But I am kind of curious of like why he brought her back. Like, did Tim McGraw call up Taylor Sheridan and be like, hey, homie, you really need to get Audrey McGraw back in, my daughter. And then he decided to just like wiggle her in, because really she doesn't, I'm sure she does not come back up in the rest of the season, maybe. But we talked in the very first episode, or maybe it was second episode, I had wondered, are we going to see her again? Because no one talked about it, really, the fact that Audrey was in it. And maybe no one else cares as much as I do, but I don't know, it made me excited.
Well, Billy Bob Thornton, I think it was, said he would love to get Tim McGraw and Faith Hill involved with this show at some level. And I think that's pretty interesting as well. I don't know how they would play a role. You know, it'd have to come through some new characters in season 3 or 4. I also read that he's signed for like 3 or 4 more seasons. So even though season 3 isn't officially announced, everybody's behaving as if it's a predestined thing that this show is going to go season 3, 4, and maybe even beyond.
The only way I see them being written in is maybe in season 3 or 4, they are a wealthy family from Fort Worth and either are going to invest. Like, sure. I could see that being like a husband and wife situation. They meet the country club. I could see that. I wouldn't hate it. I liked them in 1883.
I'm not offended by like the concept of underage drinking in shows like this. Like, it's real. It happens. That's fine. What kind of offends me is that the level of drinks they're serving each other as high school seniors. Like, who is making margaritas at age 17 or 18, right? Yeah. Like,
a little bougie.
If I was lucky enough to steal a beer from my dad, I just drank that no matter what. It was Old Milwaukee at the time, I think. Like, whatever bottom shelf gin. Like, I wasn't making up mixed drinks to perfection and serving it to my friends in my own backyard. Like, am I wrong?
Salt on that rim. No, you're not wrong. I hadn't thought about it, but yeah, no, you're not wrong. They're pinkies up over there.
That's a good way to put it, I think.
You know, you're probably going to want to talk about what I'm going to want to talk about.
The gas leak, Dale, and all that good stuff.
Bingo. The whole opening scene, which at first I did a lot of Googling because I was a little confused as to what was happening. If you want to explain it for everyone, don't worry.
All right, so here we have some hunters. They're wild boar hunting, and seem to be pretty successful. This is a sport that caused a little bit of controversy in the comments and some YouTube videos, but apparently they're quite a danger and a pretty invasive species in different parts of Texas, so this is the thing people do. I'm from Detroit, so it took me a second to kind of tilt my head and understand myself. So this guy is going to get out of his truck, and he's going to go stand over his kill, and then he's quickly going to drop dead. And then the three men who are going to go chase after him, they all drop dead, like, almost instantly. And then we get the show intro. If you remember last week, Tommy had asked Boss and his crew to go check out a well that they were thinking about buying. Mm-hmm. Some company was bankrupt, selling it for 60 or 70 cents on the dollar. They wanted to kind of look at it. So they go and look at it, and Jarrell goes up to the top of the tank to kind of scan, and he notices that he sees that vehicle that we just saw. And he's like, there's something over there. So the rest of them go look at it over there. All of a sudden, all their alarms go crazy. These little beeping things on their chats go crazy. And Dale calls in an H2S leak. And quick poll, raise your hand if you Googled H2S. I definitely Googled that.
Two of us.
Yeah, 100%. Pretty serious deal, though. Hydrogen sulfide is what it is, and this is a real thing in the oil industry. Old tanks can leak hydrogen sulfide. Some people took exception with the way it was portrayed, because usually you're able to smell it. It smells like rotten eggs at low concentrations. So they would have smelled it long before their things started beeping, but that's fine, whatever. But the concentrations to which, like, it must be emitting in that area, we're talking like 1,000 parts per million. You can tell I did a lot of research on this. And like when you start coughing and gagging, it's like 100 parts per million. And you can kind of generally be around it at around 10 parts per million. So this is like serious 1,000. You just drop dead, which is what happened. But that's the new threat here. And I think I read some research that these kind of leaks have happened within the past 10 years or so on West Texas oil wells.
Wow. Well, two things. I have two little fun facts. Can I share them? They're not tangents. It's about this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, one, I will speak to, so my brother and sister-in-law, well, okay, wait, I'll actually speak to this first. Oh, no, I'll speak to, okay. My brother and sister-in-law, they're in San Antonio. Also, we have family land in Lockhart, Texas. Several years ago when we were in high school, we literally had in Lockhart, there was an infestation of wild boars. The Discovery Channel came out on our farm and shot footage, because literally they were telling people, like, please shoot them because there's an over, like, they wreak havoc. So I will say it is common, at least in the areas that our families have land, that there had for a while, like, you needed to get rid of the wild boars. Second, if you saw, that was not just a, you know, as Lainey Wilson, 4x4 by you, that was a very bougie vehicle that these men are riding in to go shoot these hogs. I mean, it is a double-decker, yeah. That double part rises up. It's called Ultimate Top Drive. Okay, so here's a fun little link. I don't personally have to it, but my brother personally has to it. So my brother's roommate in college, he actually works for Ultimate Top Drive now. And then my brother's other friend, that's his father-in-law, owns Ultimate Top Drive. So he knows, and I guess I actually know the family that owns Ultimate Top Drive.
You're not doing yourself much credit when you try to say that you wouldn't be able to get into the Cattlemen's Club, Addison, because
I think this is all, it all goes through my middle brother. So what I'm hearing is my middle brother could get to the Cattlemen's Club for sure. It's all his friends. So essentially his friend and his wife, the dad owns Ultimate Top Drive.
I'm trying to look to see how much of these things cost, but
they're no. Let's just say they're not selling them often. There's a certain level of tax bracket that you would hit in order to afford these.
Johnny makes a good point. The gas leak was reminiscent of Yellowstone's story arc where the livestock were being poisoned. I thought of that too, because there was a similar scene where the camera panned out and showed a lot of dead animals.
Yeah.
In that case, if I'm not mistaken, it was the Beck brothers who had, what do they put, alfalfa in the hay? And that killed all the cattle.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking season 2, unless he's referring to season 4, which was a brucellosis scare. Yeah, I believe, but I think he's probably thinking about season 2.
I do agree with Sims that the men weren't very good at shooting the hogs.
I'm not
like
there were
so many that, like they the guns that they had, like you should not have missed.
Oh, I disagree, because it's all the roads all bumpy and rocky, even with awesome shocks. Like that's a tough shot. That pig's moving. I don't know. Anyway, they seem to kill a number of them eventually.
Well, and they also die. So,
womp womp womp.
I did like how they showed another danger in the oil. In the oil field. You know, we just know about the oil and the potential for explosions and those kinds of things. This is just something else or sort of that you have to think about that job, because it's a real job, real dangerous job. It pays well, but these kind of things I thought were pretty, it led some credibility. Now, people who work in the oil business probably would say just the opposite, right? Like it's fake. Mm-hmm. But I think for people who are just casual watchers and learning about it for the first time, it was a little closer to reality than we would ever get.
Yeah. Something which this is kind of at the end, so I don't know if you want me to touch on this quite yet about Cammy, or do you have other things that you want to touch on?
No, hit me.
Something that I thought was interesting at the end, Cammy is on her back porch. She has a picture of her husband in her hand, and she is just beveled over in just extreme grief. Well, as she's crying, you hear wolves howling. Now, if we've learned anything about the Taylor Sheridan franchise, like wolves in Yellowstone, 1923, 1883, they all symbolize like a deeper meaning. I just feel like it was really intentional that the wolves were howling in that very last scene.
They were coyotes, Addison.
Okay, coyotes.
I've made that mistake before, Addison. I learned about it. They were coyotes, not wolves, because there are no wolves in Texas. Trust me.
You're so right. Okay. Thank you for correcting me. Coyotes, still my point. Still, I still feel confident on my 2 cents.
I agree.
Do you feel like there's a reason? Do you have a 2 cents to that? No.
There's a meaning that Taylor Sheridan likes to squeeze in there about wolves and coyotes and their overall importance. And like the symbology and like the metaphor, I don't know if I could totally explain it.
Okay.
Taylor seems like the kind of guy who would get a giant wolf tattoo, or like he'd have a big full size van and have a wolf on the back. Like, you know, that kind of guy, like that seems like Taylor Sheridan. I don't get it, but I see it. I'm excited to talk about episode 4. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready, because I haven't watched the trailer. I'm completely blind on this one.
All right, here is the trailer. It's a 30-second long clip. We're going to play it in full, and then we're going to kind of go back through and parse it a little bit. But this is, and this was revealed just a day or two after episode 3 aired.
Oh, good. 5 of us in the same car for 7 hours.
That's going to be fun.
Next time on Landman.
You don't even know what game you're playing, do you?
Let's not forget who we're burying, all right?
Snakes are cannibals, did you know that? My business is similar, but we have a code. We only eat other snakes.
Are you calling Tommy a snake?
He's a hawk, and hawks, they eat snakes too.
What stands out to you there?
Well, one, they make the funeral.
Fair. Yep, they get there.
They get to the funeral, so they answer a question earlier. So Tommy is a hawk. And, oh, are we playing it again?
Nope. Keep talking.
Danny feels like Tommy's a hawk.
Danny seems to be trying to drive a wedge between Cammy and Tommy, I feel like, by saying that he and Cammy may be snakes, but Tommy's a different species and therefore can't be trusted. And I think that he's trying to split them apart a little bit. For his own means.
I just like, what would benefit? I guess it would cause a rift between Cammy and Tommy, which then could completely compromise their relationship, which Galena would like. And then it would dissolve and disrupt MTech. So, yeah, I can see that.
I want to see if you saw... I'm going to play a clip here. I want to see if you saw a part of it that I saw, right? Here, watch it. I'm going to play it. It's about 2 seconds long. See who appears behind Tommy and Angela.
Game you're playing, do you?
Let's not forget who we're there.
Oh, you see her?
Oh, my gosh. Cooper's boo thing. Help. Why am I forgetting her name?
Ariana.
I told you.
Which means
yes, they're going to get back together, or they're going to stay together. And who told you that was going to happen? I did. I said, okay, yeah, sure. They're going to make up and it's going to be fine. We're not going to get rid of them. We need a relationship, love, little romance, little smoochy smooch. We're not getting rid of them.
Okay. Not impressed by that. I see. I didn't think it would happen that quick. I'm going to advance this a little bit forward. Okay. And see if you can see, there's a plane crash. Let's see if I can find it here. Who's on that plane? One second here. Not see a plane crash. Ready?
Yeah. Good Lord, that was so fast. Okay.
Oh, I got a good screenshot of it there. Who do you see in the back row there, leaning Rebecca. Into the center of the... Rebecca. Episode 4 is officially titled Dancing Rainbows, and the logline is, a tragic crash sets off a day of reckoning, unearthing painful memories for Tommy and Cooper. Rebecca survives a wild night. Oh. I think you're looking at her wild night.
Yeah, I think falling out of the air would be the wild night. So, but she survives, per that statement. Oh,
most certainly she does. Survives a wild night. So yeah, she survives. Let's see if we can find. Did you notice what the car crash was? Well, you can't really see it there. But that was an MTEC truck in the car crash. So that sets off the day of reckoning. So you have four different venues of drama coming for episode 4. You have a major collision involving an MTEC truck. You have Tommy at a funeral, which for some reason Dale and Nathan have decided to go to as well. When Tommy says five of us driving in a car, it's Ainsley, Tommy, Angela, Dale, and Nathan in the car. You can see Dale. You have Rebecca in a plane, and then you have Dan trying to convince Cammy that Tommy is a hawk and not one of them.
Maybe episode 4 might be my favorite.
It's looking pretty good. Have you watched it already?
No.
I haven't either.
Remember, I was too worried that I was going to get far ahead and too far ahead and accidentally spill stuff. So I decided I needed to just pause.
Yeah, I'm hoping to watch either today or tomorrow. I mean, full disclosure here, I've been kind of cranking out episodes because last week was a short week with the holidays. I have a short week this week because I have to drive up to Michigan. So I'm hoping to watch as soon as we get finished here. If not tomorrow, and after that, I have to kind of split. But I'm very excited for this episode. Ainsley seems to be a part of it, but it doesn't look like we're going to get a lot of Ainsley and Cooper drama.
I wouldn't be upset with that one. Like, who cares?
What do you think about that reaction? Cammy is Beth. Don't mess with her. Is Cammy Beth?
Yeah. Beth was like really manipulative and kind of like, I'm not saying that. Well, yeah. I don't feel like Cammy's as manipulative or just, I don't know.
I've seen people try to say that Rebecca is Beth.
I could see it maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I like this. Dan is, not that quote here. This one here from Mike the Hogginator. If you go out and scream, coyotes will start calling. All right. Well, not in Middle Tennessee, Mike.
Let's try it tonight. I'll try it off this balcony. You try it off yours. We'll see. I think I'll get seagulls at mine. So,
yeah.
Do you have anything else for me for episode 4?
Nope. I think that's it. We have some theories coming up in the Q&A. And as always, I'm curious to see people in the chat. And a really great chat today. Thank you very much for everybody who's kind of stuck with us here through this whole podcast. Again, we're on YouTube, and we'd love if you subscribed there. If you're just listening to the audio version, we do our best to make sure it's special for you there as well. But you can always email us, staff@tasteofcountry.com, and I'll respond. We'll get back to you. We'll kind of go back and forth about it because this has always been an interactive podcast. So we appreciate those reach outs.
You kind of, in the beginning, we teased a little bit of that you think I will get this week's trivia. I'm dying to know what it is.
Trivia for a Dutton Rules t-shirt, staff@tasteofcountry.com is how you can email it, or drop the answer in the comment section of the video. Not the chat, but the comment section. We'll take one correct answer from all who answer correctly and let you know that you've won one of those t-shirts from Taste of Country store. Question is, Stephanie Spampinato, that is the actress who plays Bella, who is Dan Morrell's wife on Landman. What is her most well-known role to date?
Am I supposed to know that?
Yes.
Not fair. I don't know that.
You're going to lose your woman card.
Dang.
By not knowing this show.
Actually, let me rephrase it. It's been a minute. I watched episode 3 like last week. I promise I won't Google, but I am going to look at her face again. And see if I can remember where she would be known from.
I'll tell you this. It's a network television show.
Okay. I'll relook at her face. I genuinely don't think I could remember her face right now. I'll relook at her face, then I'll circle back. But until then, onestaff@tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave your trivia guesses. And I'm going to come into some Q&A if we're ready.
I'm ready. Getting some good answers here. No one's revealing it, but Johnny says his mom knows, so he knows. He knows as well. Anyway, go ahead.
Nina says, maybe Cooper is scared because he remembers how bad it was when Tommy went bust and Angela went out to marry a man with loads of money.
Referring back to why Cooper was so sad after striking it rich on 6 straight wells. A little bit of a deeper-seated drama there.
Season 1, episode 1. Yeah, Angela, or it might have been episode 2, that she was still technically like married to the second husband. I kind of forgot about that whole plot.
They were married before. They lost all their money, got divorced. She went and married at least once, if not twice. And now they've kind of gotten back together. If this show keeps going, you got to think that there's a plot line where Tommy's going to lose all of his money again, and that's going to test their relationship, right? If this goes 3 or 4 or 5 seasons.
Oh, gosh. Yes, and I don't think I can take Angela even more chaotic than she already is.
Yeah.
Mike
good
says,
thought, though. Appreciate that.
Mike says, I think Ariana is kin to Andy somehow, a daughter from a mistress or something, and the show will take a turn.
So I think we talked about this last week as well, and Mike's not the only one pushing this theory that somehow Ariana and Galeno are related. Mm-hmm. I just don't see any evidence of them being related other than the fact that they're both, I assume, Mexican. I don't think Galeno is Spanish or anything, or from South America. So I just don't see any evidence. I like it because there's no coincidences in the Taylor Sheridan universe, except sometimes there are. I just don't see any evidence of it quite yet.
I agree. And the last one for us today is Kayla, who says, I know plenty of women who act like Angela. I can even see parts of myself in Angela. Kayla, are we throwing things? Are we throwing plates at the significant other?
Kayla's got a little bit of a temper. Maybe she's referring to Angela's positive qualities because Angela is very loyal, very protective of her family.
Yes.
I can see that.
Very opinionated. She knows what she wants.
Very opinionated. Very focused on her buttocks and their shape and working out in the gym. Kayla does a lot of squats and glute work. Maybe that's the part she sees in herself, quite literally, when she looks in the mirror. I don't know what she meant by that, I guess.
Maybe. But you know what? Staff@tasteofcountry.com is where you can also leave your thoughts and potentially have it read on our podcast. Oh, I do need to pause real quick. This has nothing to do with the show. Jeremiah says, I've got some great nails. Thank you. I just got them done.
Very nice.
I'm so sorry. Sorry to turn that towards me, but just had to take a moment.
Ever since we turned this to a video live stream, Addison's beauty routine has gotten more focused than I would have expected. And rightly so. You know, you have good skin and good nails, but I'm glad people are pointing them out. This is a detail-focused audience. I've always appreciated.
I love this part because it's very – we've always said that this podcast was fan interactive, and now we've just added faces to voices, which I always think is fun. All right.
Recap video coming next Monday, and then we'll have another podcast on Tuesday. I know we've kind of adjusted the time here or there. It just kind of has to do with, I mean, the holidays and these days off have sometimes made it a little bit difficult to get back to it. I was off work yesterday, so I couldn't do a lot of the prep. But thanks for hanging in there with us and finding us, even though the time's been a little bit inconsistent so far on YouTube.
100%. Well,
quickly, Thank you to people who chimed in on the poll, which Landman side character deserves more screen time. 41% say TL, followed by Ariana, Dale, and Rebecca. Addison, are you ready to wrap up this episode of the podcast?
The Dutton Rules Yellowstone franchise podcast is another deep diving, screenshot worthy Town Square Media podcast.
Thank you for watching and listening.
Bye, y'all.